Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 221 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strylers, and with me, as always, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Okay, and one Mr. Dallas Wood.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes.
Douches and bushes do not rhyme.
Well, that was the Notorious B.I.G.'s fault, not mine.
Well.
What a lyric.
Well, it's like, lace these lyrical douches in your bushes.
Because I'm just going to tell you right now, the word no and the word floor do not rhyme. However, Usher has things to say about that.
True that.
So, guys, listen. I'm just going to get this out of the way right now, okay? First of all, I hope everybody's doing well. I hope you had a great May the 4th. I hope you enjoyed all the no announcements we got. It was pretty great. But we did get a special announcement on May the 4th, morning of. And that was that another podcast had changed their name to the Bad Motivator Pod. Now, let me paint a picture.
That was so strange.
But here's the deal. I'm just going to paint a picture for you. I'll go as fast as I can. People instantly started kind of hammering away at them, saying, hey, you know that blah, 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 right? And that was excellent. And for the most part, it was all in pretty good fun. And it was all just facts. Here's just facts. And so I messaged them from my own Twitter account. And the dudes in this show followed all three of us individually on Twitter. I'm like, hey, just want to let you know, we didn't ask our friends to like start adding you. So hopefully nobody's being too much of a butthole. However, or actually, no, I don't like saying that. I said, having said all that, blah, 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 blah. And I was super nice about it. Well, they get back to me and were like, oh man, yeah, stupid move on our part. Give us a little bit of time to figure out what we're going to do. Okay, you with me so far? Yep. So I'm like, that's cool of them. So I tweet out, hey guys, hey friends, I reached out to these guys. They couldn't have been more cool. Let's give them some time to get this figured out. Everybody just please take the high road. Well, things escalated from there. Now,
oh wow.
In my personal opinion, I felt like, for the most part, everything was all done in mostly good fun. I had even tweeted that I had it because they changed. It was the Bad Motivator. I tweeted that I had a movie.
It was just
out.
It was Bad Motivator.
The podcast. Bad Motivator.
Yeah. No, not even the Bad Motivator podcast.
No, the just Bad Motivator.
So I tweeted out, I've got a movie coming out at the end of this year called Star Wars. Don't worry. It's not going to cause any confusion. And the guy, Cody, who was on the other thing, he actually said that was funny. I literally, and I'm like, I was pretty proud of that. I'm glad
that funny as Lucas Metz.
They took, oh dude, my buddy Metzy, if you guys met him at Celebration, he just changed his name to Eric Strother and said, and there's nothing he can do about it.
He's a legend.
Which prompted me when Eric came around with the title ? He comes with every week was like, I was like, I usually just call it the offices of Cruiser, Strother, and Woods.
Yeah, we added and took away S's where appropriate. So another friend of mine got frustrated that he felt like people were being too hard on these other dudes. And maybe there was a couple of people who were, okay? So.
Yeah.
It heats up. I don't know why, it just did, and it's over. It is what it is. So, the guys from the podcast in question, they message me and say, hey, here's what we've done, so on and so on. Sorry about the thing and all this. So, they tweet about it, and I quote tweeted it and said, class act all the way. Thank you guys for being awesome. Because they really were. They never retaliated in anger against anything anybody said.
Nope. They never said anything stupid in reply to any of the jokes that None were obviously just all in fun.
So then, and again, I can't stress this enough, how much I appreciate the community support of us. Okay?
Yeah.
But after that, somebody replies, yeah, right, Karen. You follow all of them on Twitter and blah, blah, blah. And here was the prime opportunity for them to just wade in and be like, you know what? Nope. Still totally cool. Just said, like I said, don't listen to a lot of podcasts. And then it was finally over. Now, I just want to say a couple things. And this is just a lifelong series of lessons learned by me that hopefully I can help people out there. Here's the deal. Number one, don't expend a lot of energy upset about something that ultimately doesn't matter. So ever getting bent out of shape to the point it's upsetting you, that's not helping you, okay? But if we reach the point where people aren't allowed to like make up for their mistakes and then step away from it, and we, here's the deal. We got the win. We got what we wanted in that the result we are after is that they were going to change their name, right? That should be it. Them being shamed post-win is not an important part of the equation. And I'm not crapping on anybody. I'm just talking about in general, okay? This is just a life lesson, all right? But here's the other thing I want to tell you. Why did I not get completely bent out of shape? At first, I was mad, but then here's what I did. I thought about, number one, intent. What was their intent with this? Well, I guarantee you it wasn't, you know what? Screw those guys. Here's what we're going to do. Blah, blah, blah. That there was none of that. So there's no point in getting pissed off about it. That's not what they were trying to do. They were also totally cool the whole time. So number one intent, because look, I get wanting to hitch your wagon to this big, huge, bad motivators franchise.
I mean, come on.
When you've got the audience that we
billion dollar corporation we got behind us.
Right. I get it.
It's overwhelming.
Sponsorships, 40 sponsorships.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say is this. Focus on what's important and let people... give people a break on their mistakes. We've all done stupid stuff, okay? And to be fair, yes, they did follow all three of us on Twitter. I also followed both of them and had zero idea who they were. So it doesn't matter.
Agreed.
Like, you followed them on Twitter, plainly, blah, blah, blah. Have you? Dude, I got, what? I don't. There's so many people I follow on Twitter, I have no idea who they are. Maybe I'll see them pop up in a tweet. Maybe I won't. Who cares? But that's the thing. That's what I got to say. Thank you to everybody who supported us, though. Seriously, for reals. It's a big deal, and it means a lot to us to know that people love us. What I would ask is just for your own sake, don't let things bother you too much. In general. I don't mean this. This was nothing. But just in general. Don't let things, but there's enough real problems in the world. I can point some out to you. For example, here's one. You're ready for this. Here's a real problem. My sister-in-law may be taking a job here.
No.
I had a good run. Plainly, I have to move. So later days. I didn't move 175 miles from my closest family member just to have another family member ruin it years later by moving here. So that's a problem. That's a real problem.
Good
I love
you're
my sister-in-law.
About moving, Eric.
I love my sister-in-law. She's great, but I don't know what to do with this. It's rough, man. If you ever wanted to felt like you needed a rally around strollers, if you have troops, now's the time. So anyway,
I just want to say. Shout out to those guys for they could have just been dicks and been like, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's free game. You don't own that thing. It's owned by Star Wars. Number one, two, fuck you.
Yeah.
But they weren't, they were like, oh fuck, man. Oh, you're right. Shit. Yeah, we'll fix it. And they did. And you know, like And I have sympathy because, like, I watched, like, the day it happened, like, I was like, man, what the fuck? And then I realized, you know, I'm like, we're this huge podcast. Surely they saw our stuff, you know, whatever. But then I watched their YouTube when they announced it. They used to be the Rogue Squadron podcast. Is what it used to be.
Yeah.
And I watched their YouTube announcement about it. And they had like made logos and like merch and like all this shit. I was like, man, that would suck to like have to revert all of that. Like it's just the whole rebranding process is difficult enough as it is. And like their whole reasoning for wanting to change their name was because there's a Rogue Squadron movie coming out. They're like, that's not all we're going to talk about is this movie, you know? Like, so they were like, we got to do something. So like the fact that they actually made the change and didn't go through with it, like that just and how cool they were and not like, because me personally, like I try to be calm about a lot of things, but like I had like it's not, and like I said once again, I'll reiterate what Eric said. Like, I am super grateful for all our friends and listeners who came to bat for us. Like, that was super cool and was awesome to see. But, like, I personally would have been like, who the fuck are you coming after me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it would have been like a whole thing I had to like restrain myself from saying. And, like, they, and like the guy that Eric was talking about who was going to bat for the other guys. Like they even told him to like, you know, just kind of chill out, man. Like it's all good fun. We're all Disney shills here, you know, no big deal, you know? And like, and they were just, like I said, they couldn't have been better about it. They realized they made a mistake and they moved on. That just shows a good good character. And yeah. I'm glad that, that we as a podcast did not strongly like react to it. We kind of just did it behind the scenes and did whatever else and let them correct an error, which like Eric was saying, is very rare these days that people were allowed to make up for their errors.
They didn't die on the hill. We're changed it, man. No. This is where we're at.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry. It's,
and just
made the best bad motivator win. You know, they didn't lastly, do that. They just,
yeah. Just in lastly on that, I experienced all the same things you guys did. I was super pissed, got over it because I thought it out, but I do want to thank them for being so cool. Like I had messaged them. I'm like, man, this is just odd. And I just want to let you know that we didn't send these guys after you, but also like some of it's kind of funny. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. But like good on them for going through with it and changing it. I just kind of told him, I don't know why you changed. And he told me the same thing he had told you, Luke. And then I was like, well, I don't think people will think you're linked to the movie because Rogue Squadron is kind of a known entity. There's lots of Legends books linked to it. And he was like, yeah, that's what that kind of show was about. We thought we kind of moved past that. And I'm like, man, it's hard to rebrand, and they wanted
to do what we're kind of want to do, which is like make the name ambiguous enough to where you could talk about other things, and people are like, what the fuck is this? You know what I mean? Like it was just kind of one of those deals.
They just
deals
didn't vet and, it. Great ideas no, get copied, no, man.
It's fine. It's great really ideas is fine. Get like, copied. Which when all that the heat of that stuff was happening, and it was May 4th, I feel like it was a good time to tell the story. I tweet out this thread about how we came about our name and the whole process of how that went about, and like the fact that there was the Bad Motivator podcast in the Apple iTunes when we first come up with the name, and it was like after we got all excited, we're like, oh man, that name's awesome, it's gonna be great. And then we looked it up, and we're like, shit, somebody else already has this name. And then I had to go through the whole, and I realized they hadn't released a podcast in like 4 years. I was like, well, maybe there's a chance.
From Germany too?
No, it was a guy who's from America who was affiliated with a group of toy collectors who went by the Bad Motivator. He was one guy who did toy reviews.
I think he only did like six shows too.
No, it was more than that. It was just that they weren't all on there anymore. But like that whole process was like I more so shared that story not as a dig at them because it wasn't. It was just like showing the good side and helpfulness of fandom, like because they were really the people who I contacted were really cool about being like, oh yeah, we're not doing podcast anymore. Just like, as long as you don't go on YouTube under the bad motivators, start doing toy reviews, like who cares? I'm like, awesome. And they like even like deleted all their podcasts and everything else. Like, you know, they didn't have to do all that, you know, they didn't have to respond to me, but they did. And they're really cool about it. So, I mean,
yeah. And one thing, the last thing I want to say about it is, let's be real. We just came off of a takedown. There's a real strong chance that they searched and found dick on us. Or if
that
they
was
did,
what
they
got me
it.
Around. That's what got me around from being pissed. I'm like, said, they probably, you know, did vet us.
Nothing to see then, here.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. So,
but
well, anyway. We can all be a little kinder. I want to say. Speaking of being kinder, and it kind of made the rounds today, and I'm not gonna say the dude's name because obviously he said what he said just to people to draw attention to his articles and whatever else he's doing, but that one dude that went on today saying that like all these we have all these great long form podcasts where they do like narration and like do all these great things. He goes, and then you have those guys that just hit record and talk about nonsense, like. Talk about trying to be kind. Like, you saying that tells me that you've never edited a podcast or ever had to entertain somebody or anything. If you think just like getting on here and spouting out bullshit is literally just that, it's so much more than that. And like, it's just,
I saw that.
And not to mention like, not everybody wants to feel like they're studying for a book report when they're listening to a podcast. So, like, yep. It's so
I want you to do your research. Today,
I'm like,
I want you to do your research, but I don't want it to sound like you did your research.
No, it's not even that. It's like I almost retweeted it and said something snarky, and then I was like, I'm not going to, because that's what he wanted when he made that tweet. He wanted people to retweet it and then have people go look at his profile. And then maybe some people, and maybe like a small percentage, maybe like 10 people, 10% or 20% of people agreed with him. And they end up looking at his profile like, oh, he writes for this such and such and does this and this.
Got a blue
and
chin mark.
And then they look at him like, oh, well, I'll check this guy's stuff. I agree with this guy. Fuck that. I'm not promoting anybody, even if they're doing vitriolic tweets like that. So
What's funny though too, man, is there was in the thread of his, some people had some really great points.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, some of them were pretty brutal, but I mean, because plainly it was the attention that he was after. But one of the things that I saw in there is like, well, this is like asking why all radio isn't NPR.
Yeah. Well, it's, that's so true.
I mean, it really is the, I don't know, man. I get it. You put work into something, you want there to be an audience for it, but that's just it. That's why, I don't know,
audience,
man.
Not guaranteed.
It's just, the whole thing's a mystery wrapped up in an enigma.
I mean, like Luke makes a solid point, though. It's a very tone-deaf statement that they made because even when you're just BSing, there's a ton of work into it. You still think about what you're going to talk about. You still plan out the show. It's not like you're going into it like half-ass, like hot, you know, I'm just going to land on the carrier without any training. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. Like it or not, the biggest podcast in the world is the Joe Rogan Experience. And literally, it's him talking to somebody else. A half of it's bullshit about nothing. And it's the biggest podcast in the world. Like, it's just like, don't tell me. Like, if you want to say, go on about how great these narrative podcasts are. They are. There's a lot of great ones. But then there's also a lot of them that just sound like Serial. The podcast Serial. So I mean, so like, you can say what you want and do what you want and you can be whatever, but the fact remains people choose what they want to be entertained by. And if it's that, it's that. If it's not, it's not. Like the reason why I don't listen to a lot of narrative podcasts is because when I'm listening to a podcast, I'm not trying to take in every bit of information they're saying half the time. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of great ones out there and they put a lot of time into it. And there's some that really bridge that gap really well, where they're telling you like a lot of information about some really interesting topic, but at the same time, they're very entertaining. And yeah, there's
that's
some that are
last
just like
podcast
telling you
on the left.
Yes, that's an excellent. That's one of my the dollop. There's that's another example of two comedians that are telling you about crazy moments in history, but they're making it entertaining and like actually like you know they're doing something else. And but the thing is that there's a spot that the thing about podcasts is there's a spot for everybody. That's the whole mm-hmm. deal behind it. There's mm-hmm. literally. Anything you want to know about, anything you want to listen to, if you just want something that's white noise in the background while you're working, which is what a lot of the you just want to feel like you're hanging out with people and not kind of escaping the reality of where you are. Like that's what a lot of people are looking for, is just trying to like get through the fucking day. And they have like three douchebags like us just like talking about nonsense.
Hey,
it makes them feel better. You know what I mean?
Hey,
like
man, sometimes a graduate student, a music pastor, and a car dealer can get together and make some entertaining shit.
Yeah. And guess which one cusses the most? Music
the
pastor.
The fucking car just dealer.
But anyway, guys. So
debatable.
You know what? We actually do have some Star Wars stuff to talk about.
Hey,
today.
Real quick, before you get into that, I have a quick story about London. It's 2 seconds, because he got burned last week, so he had a redeeming comment today. Last night at Mother's Day, we were playing some games because my wife loves to play board games, and as we're talking, the subject broached of when we move out of my mom's house, when we re-up all our streaming services because we're using hers. I was like going over what we're going to do, and she's like, wait, we're going to do all this? We can't do all this. What are we going to cut out? And London, without missing a beat, you. she says, we can't have all these streaming services. And he's like, well, we'll cut out you. So brutal to his mom on Mother's Day.
Oh my good Lord. I would have smacked the shit out of him.
I just went, shee.
Okay, all right, fucking 12-year-old and a 40-something-year-old body, chill out.
Hey, man, it's making me relate to my teenagers. I'm doing my best. They don't hate me right now.
Did you point at your elbow at the same time when you did it?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't make the face, though, where they bite the lower lip.
TikTok is ruining America.
I know. It's ruining Gen X because we're getting so much run on there.
Yeah. All right, Eric, you do your thing, man.
All right. So. We do have some stuff to talk about, but before we get into there, we are going to get into a little bit of this. I forgot the way I have it set up now. I can't hear it, so I hope it was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was super good.
I wagged my fingers good. Like I usually do to the beat, yeah. So you should have known when it was over.
So, guys... I'm going to go first because I did get something for who got Sweet. What this week. Uh-huh. I know that May the 4th is not Force Friday, but I thought, you know what? It's May the 4th. I'm going to walk into my Target and just on the off chance that they have something that I want to get. Well, they didn't, but out of guilt, I went ahead and got the stupid 50th anniversary repack Luke Skywalker and Han Solo Bespin gear, or I'm sorry, Hoth gear. So yeah, I got those, and now I have them, and now they sit over there. So hooray for me.
There they sit.
And I don't think, yeah, I definitely didn't get anything else. So
cool.
There we go. Anybody get anything?
Yeah, so do you remember our discussion last week, how we talked about, you know, you said specifically, when I go from now on, I'm going to see it in person before I buy it. I'm not going to pass judgment till I see it in the wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember, if you recall, I said another fucking deluxe Boba Fett. God damn it. I just don't see it, right? And it's the packaging I've been complaining about. Well, on Drinko de Mayo or Revenge of the Fifth, whichever day you want to call it, whichever your flavor is, I walked into my local Target and this peg warmer was everywhere. So I snagged one. And it was already on sale.
He's got the cool backpack. He's got the cool jetpack.
Honestly, that's what sold it for me, was the pitted armor is so much better this time around. And then the jetpack's pitted.
Hold it up. Let me see it again.
So, like, I don't know if my light's kind of ruining it.
It's got the blue, yellow, and red jetpack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably
roll a flamethrower.
Yeah. Well, and
if I saw that in a wild, I'd
Eric,
get it.
It's gonna peg warm. I think it's gonna, because it's $30 regular price. They actually gave me 20% off. They had it tagged 20% off. So I was like, "Fuck yeah, let's go!" You're going in my shopping cart.
Yeah, all those Jar Jars that I was talking about at Target, they're all gone now. So they must have super discounted them and moved them along, because I don't see them anymore.
Or sent them on or to shop Goodwill. Yeah.
Yeah, Shop Goodwill.
I should do check Shop Goodwill's. What's going on there? I haven't been there in a while.
Dude, for a while there, Shop Goodwill for you was like heroin. You were a full-on raging addict.
Well, because I was going for the books, and they had all kinds of super awesome deals on them. Like, I remember I got like fucking 60, 70 books for like
I was gonna say,
$50 box altogether, maybe. Yeah,
like I remember
was,
that.
You know,
that
and most of that was shipping cost. So, I mean, like, that was the whole deal. But I was planning on not doing anything for May the 4th at all. Like, I was like, oh, whatever. I'm not really going to buy anything. I can't really do it, whatever. And I can't talk about what I got because I don't have it yet. But I did pre-order something. And Eric's rule.
I don't think
I said it just to get the head nod.
Why don't we just throw it out?
Say you may not have pre-ordered.
We'll change it from who got what to who cares. That's what we'll call it.
Who cares what?
Who gives a damn? Maybe you got it and maybe you didn't. Maybe you'd like to have it, but you can't have it. That's what we're gonna name it.
That's a bomb ass track there. You should cut that out and make it something.
That's a $1 million rhyme right there. Yo, traffic. Looking for my chapstick. Feeling kind of car sick. That's a Ford Maverick.
All right, you in that movie, bro.
Dude, Malibu's Most Wanted is great. And I'm going to tell you something. Great. I much prefer a widescreen movie format, even before that was like the norm. But when everybody still had square TVs. Right, I still like the letterbox, but on that movie, there's a scene where he's at the coffee shop and the hot girl is comes walking in. Right,
yeah.
I got news for you: the full screen version is better because it is a taller image. You get to see more of the stuff you're supposed to see than you do in the letterbox version.
I feel you there,
and
sir.
I'm just going to tell you because I got the Blu-ray or the DVD. I don't remember. It's widescreen, and I'm like, all right, we're going to watch it. And Amanda got it for me, and we're watching. And I'm like, what
happened?
You know, but
what
am I going to say?
You can't,
Amanda. Dang, this sucks.
I can't see the hot chick anymore.
Do you guys have that move with your wives? Do you have that move with your wives when you see something nice looking and you like find something that she would trash on that chick and you're like, look at her earrings, they're awful. Then you don't get caught looking at her.
there's times like I'll just get up and walk away. Just avoid the whole scenario altogether. like Rachel's not like gonna like bitch at me for watching the show on TV, somebody's naked, whatever, but like I still, it makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes.
Oh,
see, Amanda and I, like, I try to be very respectful.
Me too,
you know, like if we're out in public and I see some super hot chick, I don't want her to see me trying to look at her on the sly, right? Because that's not cool. So, what I do is I just look over at her and say, man, I'd like to fuck her. That way it's all out on the table. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I can only imagine the thought she has in her head about you.
My move is I just want to see if she'll like just one day go, damn that girl's ass. Just to see if it happened one time.
Good luck.
Probably never going to happen.
No, what a good tactic is to compliment on how hot a guy is when you and your wife are watching something, say like Ryan Gosling takes his shirt off, or like Chris Hemsworth looking especially good today or whatever, like you say something about it. That way you just kind of like shove it all their direction first. That's a good tactic to keep in mind. But anyways,
that is a good move.
Dude, here's that actually, let me go one step further with that before you go. What I do in a situation like that, you're right. It's like if we're watching something and like, you know, Chris Hemsworth rips his shirt off, I'm like, God damn, yeah, he's good looking. And then the next thing I say is, if I look like that, I'd be fucking every chick in sight. I'm just kidding. Oh my God. I'm totally kidding.
But like literally Chris Hemsworth could have any chick he wanted ever. But anyways, that's
including me. I'd pretend.
Yeah. There was a TikTok going around where there was this chick. She was like, the one thing that men find attractive more than anything else. And then it cuts away and there's this dude just standing there awkwardly. And he goes, Ryan Reynolds. he goes, we don't talk about it, but it's true.
Dude, an internet friend of mine, Archie, had something along the lines of that. Like if someone is, how did he phrase it? That you're instantly like intimidated by. And I said, Ryan Reynolds, because he's so ripped and good looking. It just makes me feel pretty inadequate. It's true.
The truth is like for like a it, and this it's kind of good cause like with how the environment is these days is like men, I feel like men have always found like other men, like I don't know if attractive is the right word, but maybe attractive like straight men, like they find the, but it's like it's almost like they're jealous of them and they wish that they look that way. You know what I mean? Yeah, like they wish they had those attributes.
Like more not so much jealous, but appreciation. Like want you see like Arnold Schwarzenegger when we were kids, and you'd be like, fuck man, I want to look like that dude. He's amazing looking. But like no jealousy at all. Just be like, man, I cannot be that guy. You know what I mean? So like maybe on that
like
level.
But now it's like officially okay for us straight men to be like, man, that dude looks good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we can
like,
say it out loud. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've always thought it, but now we can say it without being like, you're gay. You know what I mean? Like, it is one of those things.
I think
you know?
It's been well documented. Like,
we've come a long way.
Well documented on this show of me saying the only dude I would like hook up with is Oscar Isaac because he's just so fucking handsome.
Dude, I got a few on that list. I
got
lie.
A couple
but
too.
Anyways,
but like, dude, in Star Wars related, Oscar Isaac is like ridiculously beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So,
anyways,
back to who got what. I pre without a path. I pre-ordered something. I'm not gonna talk about what I got, but what I did was it was the first time I had a reactionary, like, oh, fuck, I got to get that right now because like it's like a limited thing, you know, and like I've been trying to get these kind of things for a while and I always miss out on them. And because I am home all the time now and there's no boss but prying eyes, I could just do whenever I want. And I was just like, but like at the same time, I don't have any in my own money. So it's all a whole thing. So like I was like, fuck it, I'm ordering this because it's never gonna get it again. It's gonna be gone in like 3 minutes. I'm gonna
what
order
was it. I gotta know now.
Yeah, you got me like engaged now.
They were like limited posters, but they were like really cool ones of the original trilogy. Ugh, they were like
what a fucking they were like down
Yeah, man. I was all right, like, go on. God, what saber did you get? What hot toy?
But I mean,
did
like, they only made like, but they only printed like 250 of them, and they sell out like immediately. And they're like a cool format. They're like 12x24, and they sit and they're like all sit next to each other. It's a whole deal. It's an aesthetic thing. Shut the fuck up. I was excited about it. So I ordered them, and then I took a screenshot of it. And coincidentally left the price out of the screenshot. I took a screenshot of it, and I sent my wife. I said, so I bought some on the May the 4th when I thought I wasn't going to. I hope you can forgive me. And I didn't hear anything back all day. I was like, oh no, she's not going to forgive me. and then she came home, and I was like, and she didn't say anything. She's like, hey, she just did her normal thing. Hey, how you doing? You have a good day, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I was like, did she not see it? Or is she just waiting to slit my throat in my sleep? And
worse, I said, did you get my text? Your ass.
I said, did you? She's like, not going to cut my dick off, Dallas. That's what she did, right? She cut the dick off. Yeah. There was a good last podcast I left about that.
I heard it. Excellent.
But she's like, oh yeah, yeah, I saw that. I was like, and that's it. She's like, yeah. I was like, okay, I guess I'm in the clear. I guess she just assumed probably like $30. Move on, my but it's actually like $115 for all three of them. So, what are you gonna do? And I blame Steele for it because he posted about it. And I don't really blame him, but there's been several versions of those posters that have come out like over the different trilogies, the prequels, the originals, and the sequels. There's always a million different variations of them, but they're always made by these very talented artists and they're sold by that bottleneck gallery but they're always like really nice prints and stuff and they're gone like immediately and I just like fuck it, I'm getting them. So yeah, that's what I got, and hopefully in a couple weeks I'll get to show them to you. Not that you guys obviously care, because you don't care about posters, it seems, but yeah, anyways, that's what I got.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, what I wanted to ask, did you guys watch that Venom trailer today?
I haven't had time. It's on my list. I love the movie, so I'm excited. I just haven't had time.
I did have time, but I didn't do it on purpose.
Well, did you watch the first movie?
No.
Eric?
You should, man. You dig it. I think you'd like it. It's fucking good.
It's one of those things, like, once again, this is like, and we've had this reoccurring theme going on with these movies where people expect more out of them than what they actually meant to be. Like, the reoccurring theme with the Venom movie is that it's so bad that it's good. But like, I genuinely like that
movie. I don't think it's bad. Like I never thought it was bad either.
I like it quite a bit. I think the CGI is really fucking good. I think Tom Hardy's fucking awesome.
The guy that does the voice Venom when he's talking to Venom, the interactions are awesome. Like him going crazy Venom's for the frozen tater tots and shit when he first gets infected. Yeah. It's such a good scene, man. My kids love that movie.
It's all really good shit. You should watch that trailer because it really carries on that theme.
Okay, good.
Really
I'm gonna check that out.
I watched it again today because like while I was doing shit, like had it on the background, and like I was watching it again. I think it was the first time I seen it, so it's the first time I saw it, and it maybe the third time, I'm not sure, but like it's just a fun movie, and like Tom Hardy is just eating up every minute of the scene, and it's so good, and like I unabashedly love that movie. It's one of those things, and like Of course, with the way our world is there's all these people who are going around saying on Twitter, like, what, now we're going to say that Venom's a good movie? We all know it's a bad movie. I'm like, speak for yourself, bro.
I don't
know
what you're
talking about. Yeah, I saw it for the first time. Because when I saw it, I saw a pirated version of it because, like, all the reviews were bad and like people were talking shit about it, and then I watched it and I was like, I don't really understand what movie they were watching because I fucking love this movie. I think it was awesome. but I feel like that's happening more and more to me, and I don't know if it's I'm blank on the term, but like the need to go against the grain, I guess, sometimes with people and their opinions.
Yeah.
But
being a contrarian is what I call it.
Contrarian. There you go. I don't know if it's the contrarian in me or what, but I'm finding more and more that there's a lot of movies that people instantly shit on for whatever biased reason they have. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. I thought it was kind of fun. That's kind of what I'm looking for in movies, just to have a good time.
You're not alone in that. The only time you ever said something where I was like, I think you're definitely contrarian on that is Josh Whedon's Justice League. Now, to be fair, I've only watched an 45 minutes of the Zack Snyder cut, but of the 45 minutes I've seen, I'm like, oh, this is what Luke was talking about. So you were
I don't think I defended Joss Whedon.
Not defended, but defended, you just said you liked it.
I said it wasn't this horrible. I said it was, but I've always said that I like Batman versus Superman.
Okay,
that was
that's the one. Okay, never mind.
That's the one. Shit.
That's the one that I'm meaning when I'm saying this is that I despised that movie and you liked it.
That's fine. I'm sure there's a lot more, but the whole point is you're not a reprehensible dick about it. You know what I mean? Like there's so many people that either they're like, I think some people's problem with Venom is that it's trying to combine too many comic tropes together to like make Venom happen because there's no Spider-Man in it. You know what I mean? And like, I just don't give a shit.
Me either.
Like, I like the movie for what it is. Like, if you want the comic story, that exists. It's there.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry it didn't come to fruition for you in the movie, but like, I don't know. I'm admittedly a big Tom Hardy fan. So like, maybe that's my Tom Hardy bias kicking in. Mm. But like whenever somebody talks a whole bunch of trash about The Dark Knight Rises, I'm like, are you kidding me? Bane, get the fuck out of here. He was great. You know what I mean? Like, is this all that kind of shit going on?
Did you hate Mad Max Fury Road? Because that shit was awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome in that too. And he it turns out that he wasn't even really the main character in that movie. He kind of was, but he was. He was sharing the spotlight a lot with Charlize Theron. She was great. But yeah, no. I'm excited for Venom, and I'm really excited to see Woody Harrelson as Carnage too.
Oh, dude.
I think it's gonna be awesome.
My dad and I for May the 4th watched Solo together. I think he had fallen asleep when he saw it the first time or something, because it was like completely new to him. And the reoccurring theme between the two of us, because I probably hadn't watched it in a year. I mean, it had just been a while.
I want to go back to that movie.
Oh
soon.
Man. Woody Harrelson as Beckett is like pure gold. It is such an underappreciated character, like his performance in it. Like, just how could you not be excited for him to play Carnage after just freshly you saying that? I forgot he's going to be Carnage. I'm like, oh God, I'm getting Woody again. Zombieland Woody and all that shit. I love Woody Harrelson.
I literally don't think he's aged since Kingpin.
True. I think I watched that the other day too. It's funny you talk about that.
Eric, was that movie you liked, Kingpin?
It was all right. It, you know.
Oh man, I fucking love Kingpin. I watch it so much.
Well, anyway,
just Munson.
There's a shitstorm coming. I think I smell it.
So, hey, how about the Bad Batch? Let's talk about that. Let's all go right there.
Oh, what?
Star yeah, Wars, I know, boy. Right? But. So we got on May the 4th, besides no announcements, which, dude, that is so weird to me. I just,
right?
What a whiff. And was it, and it's like, okay, well, maybe they were worried that anything major would take away attention from the Bad Batch. But, you know, here we are a week later and still nothing. But whatevs. So we got a 70-minute episode of said cartoon plus.
Yeah, we did.
On Friday, we got another one in Dallas. You were right. It was Friday. I realized where I got Thursday was probably from Raj saying having to stay up all night on Thursday night to watch.
He and I were on the Kessel Run together, and we both found out we are old because, like, we're both yawning, and they're, like, making fun of us for yawning. And I'm like, it's 3:40 in the morning. And didn't say this out loud, but we've had three callers in a row that all basically said the same fucking thing about this episode. Did they not hear each other talk on the show?
So, okay. You guys have all seen it. We're not going to sit here and go through the plot and all that. We're just going to talk about the show, full spoilers, what we dug, what we didn't dig. And so what'd you guys make of it, man? Who wants to talk about it? Give me your impressions.
I want to say this. When we first saw The Bad Batch, you know, in the Clone Wars episode. I didn't necessarily care about any individual one of them, but now I really care about a couple of them. And one of them is Hunter. I am the biggest Hunter fan now. I want that figure now. These two episodes have solidified my love for that clone. And I have an appreciation for Tech, even though I want to slap him sometimes.
Similar sentiment, except I don't want Spec Tech. But I really thought that when this started, when it was announced, I guess, I was like, how are they going to make me give a shit about these characters? Like, I liked them for what they were in the Clone Wars, but to me, they were always just a subplot in the Clone Wars. They were never meant to be anything special because I don't know any of the backstory. I never followed any of the unmade shit. Like, it was never my thing.
Yeah.
And when we watched them in the Bad Batch, it was in the Clone Wars. It was really fun to like make fun of their tropes and whatever else. Things that surprised me was. Yeah, like I'm not so surprised that I like Hunter more because I figured if he got more of a more direct focus that he was definitely be the character we would care more about just because he's the leader and that kind of the leader gets more time and more complex situations to deal with and it's gonna pan out that way. What I am surprised by is how much more I like Wrecker. Because I didn't think that was possible.
Really?
For me to like him. I was surprised.
I feel like he's for the kids, but I don't hate him.
I disagree in a way. I feel like that character has so much heart and his whole rage moment in the, I think it was the second episode. Maybe I can remember. Maybe for a second, they kind of blurring together. But where he couldn't find his stuffed animal, I found so endearing. And then Omega finding it and giving it back to him was such a good moment, you know. And speaking of Omega, I think she's awesome.
I was going to say the whole I forgot Star about War- her.
The whole Star Wars community is in love with her, and rightfully so. Her little Kiwi accent and like all that stuff, man. It just her hair and like, and then when she like lets go of her beads around her head, and it just there's just so much about her that I like. She's such a blank slate because she's never been anywhere. She's got a very Rey element to her. You know what
I mean? How about the CGI on that dirt, Eric?
What kind of questions are you asking here, buddy? All right,
you know it's a cartoon, right?
No, you were just staring off into space, so I thought I was like, did he see that dirt? That dirt was cool though, by the way. I didn't know I'd care that much about dirt. I was like, look how excited she is about the dirt.
Now, I was trying to decide if I was going to yell out the window, whoever's dog that is barking, to shut that thing up.
Oh, dude, no wonder you were like looking.
Dude, I'm so annoyed by it. But no, I'm looking at the screen. I'm looking at the screen that you two are on currently.
Yeah, I just want to say I think she's got a very Rey quality to her in that way.
Oh, sure.
She's very pure, very, very pure, very unaware of the rest of the galaxy, and giving her a chance to experience it all is very cool. I want to say one last thing. Let Eric talk about it. People are going on about how it's exactly the same storyline as The Mandalorian and whatever else because of Omega being the child in the story, whatever else. My whole thought on that is whatevs, dude. Like, it doesn't even bug me even a little bit.
I don't even see it, like, number one, and it doesn't bother me.
Well, I mean, like, to say it's not there is wrong, but to say that it's not at the heart of what Star Wars is and has been since the very beginning is like, I don't know. It's just a dumb little bitchy argument. I'm sick of it. But anyways, I've really enjoyed it. And I think it's surprisingly way better than I thought it would. And I'm a little surprised that my kids aren't more into it than I thought they would.
But that is serious. Henry was like, meh. He just wasn't that keen to it, and I'm not sure why, because it's got all the visual elements that he likes. So I like Omega. I am curious as
to like her purpose. I hope she's not force sensitive. I hope that like at from a clone standpoint that she is the combination of all the other attributes of the Bad Batch, that they're all of those mutations are part of her. And the reason I say that, and I'm wondering if that's the case, is because, you know, for example, she picks up the blaster and fires it perfectly the very first time and claims she's never fired one. She tells Crosshair, I know what you're going to do, but please don't do it. And I know it's hard. I understand. So is either she's an empath or what makes them is such a part of her that she totally gets it. Like, you know, kind of when the couple's real close and they finish each other's sandwiches. But it's, I do like her quite a bit. I was wondering if the head thing was like a way for them to track her. But I think it may have just been a, you know, a visual. A visual thing. Because
I think it's a symbol of her let it go over the past. That's what I think.
But, I like the action. I like the story. I do like all the characters. I was worried Wrecker would get on my nerves, mostly because of his voice. But I really dig him. And like him looking for his stuffed Tuca doll, that was very cute. And I don't know. I really like it. Now, in the first episode, and I talked about this on the Sith List, with Kanan, young Kanan, Caleb Doom, and I know... Like people were, oh God, Freddie Prinze Jr.'s voice, and it's just a kid, and so on on.
Noah had some insight into that. He knows Freddie Prinze Jr., and he mentioned on their show, he said that Freddie went in recording it, and they had told him that he's going to be recording a bass track for a child to redub, like in their voice, but do it like he was doing it. And so when Noah texted him, I guess he texted back, No, it was a kid. They were just going to have a kid. No, he's like, no, dude, you're in the show. They just used your track. had no idea he was in the show.
It didn't bother me that much. I liked that it was him. And honestly, I don't know. Whatever. It's a small thing. But I liked that they did it. They could have pitched it up a bit. But... I mean, the whole story there, you know, they took some liberties with like what's been set forth in the comics and what's been set forth like in the book. A New Dawn, is that the name of it?
Yeah.
But
and they kind of threw away the Kanan comic, the first Kanan comic. Yeah,
that's the first thing I said scene. In my little sentence there.
Sorry.
I was looking at what, but my thing is that you. I like that everything, they want everything to be knit together, right? I do get that. However, it's real easy to back yourself into a corner when, like, you have a novel, like the Ahsoka novel, come out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, but there's a lot of elements in that story that I can live without, and I suspect that some point they already have.
That novel means
different with it, and it's like once you stick yourself,
which I'm okay with.
I feel like it's certain certain media trumps other media. Top tiers movies. Next tier is live action TV. Next tier is animation, and then books, comics, and however you want to shake it. But I really liked. Seeing like how Order 66 happens like instantly after, you know, Grievous, they're informed he's mounting an attack and all this stuff. And then boom, Order 66. And one thing that really stuck out to me and on my first watch of it was Depa Balaba losing her composure and screaming at him to run. That was brutal and so perfect. Because that was, you know, especially of the prequel era stuff where everyone spoke in monotone like this. Mm-hmm. For that to happen, it showed just the raw fear of it all. And the way they played that off was great. And I'm so glad it was like that. It was very heavy. Very heavy.
Yeah. I mean... I mean, that's what Yoda collapsing was. I mean, that was him screaming when he felt all happy. That's him collapse. That was him screaming.
And
but like, yeah, you're
I'm
right.
I'm glad that they went that route. And for Kanan to take off running, and you know, the way he's yelling at the clones to get away from me and all this, and Hunter trying to figure out what's going on and wanting to help him, and then realizing that Crosshair's compromised on some level. And you know, at first I was not curious, is he just the good soldier, and or is he like genetically or biologically compromised? And the way they played that out, and how he's like, Hunter let that kid go, and then he doesn't try to deny it, just the way they played that whole thing out, and then with him instantly being out of the group, so to speak, and then whenever they're trying to, and you know, like I said, Omega telling him, I know what you want to do, but please don't do it. Once they escape and all this happens, I'm like, is the duration of this, do you think he'll come around, or do you think he's just lost?
I don't think he's lost, but I think because in the previews there was a moment where they're with Rex, like in the trailer. There's a moment where you see him with Rex. So I have a feeling there's going to be a whole "you got to cut that shit out of his head" moment. You know what I mean? Like we got to get him somewhere. We get this chip out of his head. But like, I think he's come back around. I don't think they're going to let their brother stay fallen. I think it's going to end up being a big moment in the series when they finally get him back, and then there's going to be a whole fight with, you know, they'll have to restrain him and everything else. You're going to see it coming. But no, I think that whole series, that whole sequence was done really well. And you're right, Eric, that whole moment where Omega was trying to level with him, and it was kind of working because at that time his chip was still in his head. It was working, but it wasn't perfect. And then Tarkin ramped it up to where he became like a Terminator. that was and then it was full on from there.
I just want to point out that before he got ramped up by Tarkin, I had mentioned the last time we had watched Bad Batch, you know, originally when it aired, that he, mm-hmm. he was a pedophile, and he was oddly obsessed with Caleb Doom. I mean, did you kill that kid? Did you kill that kid? Did you kill that kid?
We're so glad you brought that back up. He was definitely always the shadiest one out of the group. I will say that
they created some always good conflict.
That shifty feeling quality to him. That's why I always said he reminded me of Snake Hips from Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, he's had that vibe to him. But I don't think they could have. I wonder if they could have pulled that whole thing off with any other member of the group. No. Like definitely they wouldn't do it with Hunter, because the other three couldn't sustain the narrative without him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they couldn't sustain him being a bad guy. It just wouldn't work. It'd be like Leonardo all of a sudden being the bad guy. I don't know if it would work, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But you know, you could see with Wrecker just kind of being their bad Hulk or something, you know, tracking them all down, whatever. You could see that. Tech would have been a menace because he, you know, would have known all their tactics and where they were going to go and all their frequencies and whatever, all their secret things. But like, old Snake Hips makes the most sense.
Did you guys dig the kind of like callbacks to Revenge of the Sith, like the moments of Order 66 and Revenge of the Sith?
They were
very low key and not as obvious as the first time around. So I really appreciated that.
When Eric was talking about that earlier, one thing I wanted to bring up, there was a video going around of four different moments of Order 66. They were all cropped together. Yeah. And one of them was in Revenge of the Sith when it happened. Another one was in Clone Wars when it happened with Ahsoka. And another one was in Fallen Order when it happened. And the last one was with the Bad Batch when it happened. And the way they all sequenced up, and the way that they've always kept Ian McDiarmid's, like, you know, execute Order 66. Yeah, yeah. That whole, you know, and like all the clones are all going, yes, my master. Like it's this whole thing that carries on out throughout the whole thing. They all sequence up so well together. And it's really, it's very well done. And it was really cool to see that actually somebody stitched it all together. And it was kind of chilling, really, because that's one of those things after Revenge of the Sith, like, oh man, that they did it. That's a thing. It really happened. That's an order to kill all the Jedi. And now that we're kind of meandering in this era to where that's where it's happened or it's happening or it's a few years after, there's always the chance of, it's so much more of a big moment. While it was a huge moment, Revenge of the Sith, you know, that was almost 20 years ago, you know what I mean? Which is crazy. That the crazy thing about it.
I know.
But now that they're able to all kind of pitch them all together in different mediums, I don't know. It's just a cool, and they see all the different reactions around the galaxy of the Jedi and the betrayal of the clones and stuff. Like it's very cool. Sad, but cool.
One thing that I thought it was really cool that they showed the clones listening to his whole forming the Galactic Empire speech, and they're all
the Senate speech. And,
Hollering and like, yay, all right, yes, evil rules supreme. We did it. And I don't know. There's just something about that really struck a chord. Now, in the second episode, where they head to whatever that planet is where Cut lives. And
how about that title? That was like a bad motivator's title. Cut and Run.
It was such
a bad motivator's title for the episode.
Here's something interesting. The song that starts out the beginning of That's Metal, the That's Metal theme, is from a song by Throw the Horns called Cut and Run. So there you go. but you know, Cut and his wife, Sue, is that her name? S-U-U, I think. First of all, I can't help but notice right off that she's wearing substantially more clothes in this show than she was in Clone Wars.
Thank you, Disney Plus.
Yeah, she's, you know, in the original Clone Wars, she was real proud of the girls.
And so it was Cartoon Network, bro.
Well, you know how George Lucas felt about those Twi'leks.
Yeah, they don't wear bras in space. I mean?
But they do get boob jobs. And anyhow, I liked that. I liked seeing Omega play with those kids. I just felt like almost that they were hitting us over the head with some like very generic story beats in that episode. Yeah. I liked it substantially less than the first one. I didn't hate it, but it just, I think that's, Henry hasn't seen the first one. He saw that second one. And I think maybe that's why he was like, but yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm super stoked for the show. I like it way more than I thought it would, because like you said, when I saw the Bad Batch in their Clone Wars arc, I'm like, okay, that'll do.
Yeah. This is the last we'll see of these guys.
But to see, you know, them as individuals, which speaking of them as individuals and their individual personalities, I did like how they like went out of their way to let you know who each one of them was. Like, you're Wrecker and blah, blah, blah. And you're Crosshair. Yeah. That's great, because like, I think we needed that.
Michelangelo was a party dude. Yeah.
But our friends at the Canto Bite Dispatch did a review of the first episodes that is really pretty tremendous. And I recommend everybody give it a listen. I'll say this about it. I love it when a plan comes together. And that's all I have to say. So anyway, what is it going to bring? I don't know. What will happen with the team as a whole? Are they going to survive this whole thing? I don't know. Because like so many of these things, it begs the question of, well, then where were they when this happens? You know, going forward into the original trilogy era.
Lastly, on this second episode, I get where people are getting the Mandalorian connection, because it is definitely the second episode that gives them the connection, because it has the homesteader season one, episode four of The Mandalorian vibes, you know, when they visit the planet with the blue shrimp, sex on the beach or sex on the shrimp. So it has a, like, it has a lot of, like, when she's playing with the kids, like, that's where they're trying to make those connections. And I don't, it's not as obvious as they're trying to make it out to be. It's not as good an episode as the first one, but it definitely doesn't have those connections as strongly. Like, I see some of it there, but it's Star Wars. It repeats itself. Come on, guys. You know this.
And speaking of repeat itself, I am hoping that she is not
force sensitive.
Well, I hope she's not somebody that, like, I don't want her to be the mother of the clone that becomes Palpatine. I don't want any of that. But I mean, she has to fulfill some sort of purpose, and because it's they're not going to kill off a kid.
No.
So, but what she does, like, I don't want her to be Rey's mom or any dumb stuff. No, I just don't want any.
We don't
of that.
Need to Harry Potter this shit.
Anyhow, so I'm looking.
I love Harry
to
Potter
it.
When I say that. By the way,
we got 14 episodes to go. From that's what I'm to understand. So yeah, pretty neat stuff, man. Pretty neat stuff. I'm glad we got it.
I'm excited for it. I mean, even though we're not going to get another Star Wars show, we're going to have Loki coming out after this. So I don't know how long that's going to go, but it doesn't feel like we're going to have a big gap with Disney Plus before the Book of Boba Fett. And then next year's going to cook.
There's going to be a bit of a gap. There's going to be, because that's going to go.
Loki's going to go till what?
Probably till the end of July.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have just like 4 or 5 months of some random shit. Like, I think that Star Wars anime is coming out in this fall.
Oh, is the anime show coming out in the fall? Okay. So maybe not as big a gap. I think so. Yeah. So, I mean, we got some stuff to look forward to.
But I don't think that's like a. That's not new stories. It's like retelling. It's like anime retelling of stories we already
know.
Yeah,
but I'm sure they're going to take some liberties.
It might be kind of from a certain view, from a certain point of view.
That's what I was kind of that, like, reading up on what it's going to be about. That's what I've always believed, that there would be some slight tweaks, twinges.
Yeah. Yeah.
What say you, Eric?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I can't remember the whole timeline and all that.
I mean, the whole world's trying to catch up from this COVID era, yeah. Man. They're all trying to figure out what they're going to do and how things are going to go. And old Fauci is telling us we're going to be back to normal Mother's Day next year, maybe. It's like, fucking Fauci.
Dude, but that guy, like, I can see why people don't like him. I appreciate all his expertise, knowledge.
I do too.
But at the same time, he is. You remember the Saturday Night Live character? Now I can't remember her name. It was Rachel Dratch, and she was like the downer.
Debbie Downer.
Yeah, he's fucking Debbie Downer in real life.
Well, I mean,
he's like, I have no way to give you good news, but bad news.
Hey guys, you'll be dealing with COVID till Mother's Day next year.
The thing is, he's like, but to be serious, what would you rather him tell you?
Oh no,
truth.
I'm glad we have him. It's just we're all in this state of, are we ever, like, it's starting to feel like. It might not ever be normal again, because he even said that, like, masks might become a seasonal thing, which I'm not necessarily against. It's just like,
I'll tell you right now, next winter, I'm wearing a mask in every grocery store because I did not get a cold or flu.
Yeah, that was kind of nice. Yeah.
Learn my lesson. Yeah. I don't care if they make fun of me. I'm fucking wearing a mask next winter everywhere I go in public.
But. That I have to admit, that has been nice, but I also, like, can't help but feel like I'm being somewhat, like, immunocompromised in that way by not getting some sicknesses.
Don't lick a doorknob, like, then.
Well, I might, Eric.
Don't go full Rudy Gobert and lick microphones and touch
I might
them.
Lick it and then maybe just stick it up my butt for good measure. How about that?
There ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of butt stuff, but
a little bit of butt knob.
But anyhow. So, yeah.
Nothing wrong with butt stuff and money.
But anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, Bad Batch. Now, I would, now I'm more interested in seeing the figures.
Oh, yeah. I want Hunter so bad now.
Oh, dude, I'm sure you guys saw it, but did you see that? I feel so bad because I don't know their name, but the artist, awesome rendition of all the Bad Batch that look like Tamora Morrison.
Super dope.
Dude.
Super dope. I want those posters.
So good, man.
I feel really bad. I don't know her, he or her's name. I feel bad, but it's...
Or they.
They were so well done, and you know, there's a whole lot of discussion going on about the likenesses of these characters and stuff, but like I feel like that is just like it's so good, and you know, I don't think we'll ever get any live action version of them and whatever, but like I hope some way they find a way. If they did, they made some find some way to do it like that because it was really good. I'm so glad we're getting some more Tamora in the Book of Boba Fett. I'm so looking forward to that. And the fact that it's going to be basically all about him and Fennec Shand probably is just like, that's so appealing.
I wonder if they will make any tie-ins with, because we're going to get Fennec Shand in the Bad Batch coming up. So I wonder if there's going to be any tie-ins to the Book of Boba Fett with that. It'd be interesting to see later on after we see Book of Boba Fett.
Well, a lot of negative Nancys are talking about how they're probably going to tie in Baby Yoda somehow and all that because he's out there, you know, at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said something about that forever ago, that maybe the Bad Batch has something to do with the hiding of Grogu. And I said, because in my mind, that would bring a lot of eyes to the Bad Batch because they are advertising this show heavily. Like I'm seeing it in a lot of places. So I mean, like I'm not saying I'm for or against, but like it's just the fact that people immediately go, oh, here they go. They're gonna do this thing and another thing, and they're gonna have stuff that correlates together. And of course, the Bad Batch is gonna be involved because why not? I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Like this,
that's the person that goes to a kegger and like doesn't drink but stays the whole night. And they're not driving anybody home. They're just ruining everybody's good time.
The problem is that's a person that I've muted once or twice. I swear, or at least once for sure. But yet I keep seeing their tweets somehow.
Popping through? Like,
I
don't.
Because people are like fuck, people man? You don't have muted are liking their shit and it's showing up in your timeline. Yeah.
So
but I would like to see how Grogu got freed. And if it's the Bad Batch that did it, great. I mean, at least that's the vehicle how I got to see how it happened.
Well, why by this point, he would have had to have been removed from the temple by now.
Yeah.
So
but maybe they have something to do with hiding him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyhow. Anyhow, yeah, I get it. Yeah. So speaking of some dude who has things to say, I caught this YouTuber today who was talking about upcoming video games. Now, surprisingly, I'm being sarcastic when I say that, the title of said YouTube video leads you to believe that brand new information just popped up about like a potential timeline for releasing Fallen Order 2, for example, and possibly Battlefront 3, and so on. Well, no information there, really, except them saying they want to have Fallen Order out by 2023. Originally, they were, you know, it was like the end of 2022. Still could be, because that would still be by 2023. But no real news, but then the notion that there's going to be a Mandalorian game with that includes Boba Fett. Okay, I don't if there's really news to support that, I don't know, but it just seems like a complete no-brainer. I think that it would be foolish to not capitalize on that. I mean, not just from the money standpoint, but people, I would be genuinely interested in such things.
Oh fuck yeah! Same here. Especially if it was well done. If it was anywhere near as good as Fallen Order, it'd be a home run, man. Like it just
Fallen Order is a great game. It really is. Yeah. I'm very pleased with it.
Yeah. I'm still not. I still have. The problem was is I had it on my PlayStation, and now you can get it on Game Pass on Xbox, but I'm like, oh, I got to go back through and play the whole thing again. I'm not beat it the first
time. I don't have a place in, you know, in my parents' home where I can play video games uninterrupted to where I'm feeling like I'm getting the most enjoyment out of it. So I might have to move it back to work because I have dead times during the day that I could play a couple hours. And that's what I need to do. It's just embarrassing how little video games I play, even though I love them.
Well,
yeah.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, here's the deal. I really enjoyed playing all the way through Fallen Order. I've done it twice. The second time is when I 100%ed the thing, like all the Xbox achievements and the whole bit, which really
completionist
really took some time, but it was worth it. I like grinding sometimes like that. It's
yeah. Eric doesn't play a lot of games, but he plays that fucking game.
You got that right.
He spends $60. He's getting every fucking penny out
of
it. Dude,
Red Dead. He's going to. I still play that every day.
You got to feel like Red Dead for you is like the $60 isn't even significant because of how much you've gotten out of it.
Well, I mean, I ended up buying the ultimate version. I paid $20 for Red Dead, I think, or $30. For the disc, because it was on sale at Target, and then I got some promotion where if you use store pick, or you know, what's the word I'm looking for, where they bring it out to you, curbside pickup, you got an extra so much off. So I got it for maybe $20-something. And then later, after I had completely finished the story, I see that Red Dead Ultimate has popped up for sale. And I end up getting it on the cheap, right? Because there is a little bit more in that than there is in like the final release of Red Dead. Okay. Which essentially amounts to like one extra treasure map. But it's like, ooh, I got to get that. And then I sold my disc to a friend of mine. Totally worth it. But dude, I've gotten more than my money's worth out of that game. I still play it all the time. Every day I play that game. So, you know, because, you know, I'm playing online, got daily challenges. I'd really like to roll through the whole story again because it's so great. But
I was looking at GTA 5.
I saw a YouTuber that I follow that I thought was, he said that Red Dead was on Game Pass again, but it is not. I just looked. But man, oh man.
No, GTA 5 is.
Yeah, it is. I would really like to get another Bad Motivators posse night going and hopefully have more people come through. So, you know, let's think about it.
I'd love to join you from my PlayStation.
it's a fun time. It's a really fun time.
I'd even consider re-downloading it just to play with some people.
Dude, it's a good one. It's a real good one, man. Oh, so yesterday I was playing and I let my son drive my horse between points. I was just going around picking up collectibles, so I wasn't really interacting with anybody. But watching him like just enjoy driving my horse and explain to me how good he is at it, which I thought was really cute. But like we're going and suddenly on the map, I see a red dot pursuing us. And
he
said,
he got the cops after him.
It was a panther.
Oh,
and I said, Henry, give me the controller. It's a panther. And, oh my gosh,
there's
man,
a fucking cougar in the car.
He was having such a good time. And I wish that they had a kid mode. A kid-friendly mode where there's like slightly less cursing, I guess. And it's not even that good Lord, I curse in front of my kids all the time, but it's all like the cunt sniffer and cocksuckers. And those are the things I don't want the sexual nature of it, because I just can't have them saying it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, dude. They'll go to church on Sunday and say that shit off that game.
Because he knows better than to, you know, like he's like, they said a bad word, Dad. And I'm like, yes, Henry, they did. You know, who cares?
Thank you for pointing that out.
But
I want to in that vein, Eric, really quick. I've been on a Tenacious D kick again recently. Like just like the like I've it's the first two albums for me, and I can't go the most recent two are really good in their own way. Like they're like really well produced, like the music's really good and all that stuff. But that's the problem, is it's like they feel like real albums. They don't feel like the Tenacious D, like from the original one and the Pick of Destiny.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, I don't know how it happened, but because I've been playing the other two like on repeat back and forth, because like they're probably two of my favorite albums. Those two albums, they're so
Pick of Destiny is awesome.
They're so fucking good. It's crazy how good they are. But I don't know how it was, but I want to click on the Pick of Destiny, and it was playing Kickapoo, and it goes long ass freaking time ago in a town called Kickapoo. I was like, freaking,
it didn't say long ago. Ass fucking time ago.
No, that's what I'm saying. They have a clean version of the Pick of Destiny.
What?
Yes.
What?
No, thanks.
I immediately shut that the fuck off. I'm like, you cannot have Tenacious D edited. It's just not even right.
Okay. I'm going to take your Tenacious
like,
D.
That actually feels more dirty to me, the fact there's a clean version of those than there's a dirty version.
Dude, right? That reminds me, I have recently taken an old school back listen to a catalog from the Bloodhound Gang. Do you guys know who they are?
Oh my God.
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot about them. So great.
Dude.
So, yeah. So,
they're just in that vein of
Tenacious D. Yeah. Speaking of Tenacious D, our good friends at the Blue Harvest podcast just celebrated their 300th episode.
And 300, one of their man.
Listener, Jim, called and or sent in a voice message that had him singing his version of Wonder Boy. And I'm just going to tell you,
oh my God,
that dude's pitch is really good. His pitch and wow. His tone.
Is this electrician Jim that listens to our show too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it.
Word? Yes. He can sing?
Dude, like a freaking angel.
I'm going out of town for work, so I've been saving the episode for when I'm at the airport and driving to Vegas from California. So I haven't listened to it yet. So now I'm excited.
Your voice is like a mix between was it Jesus Fergie and Jesus. Fergie. I can't even look at you right now.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very, very good. I was quite impressed. And, you know, you guys have been with me long enough to know that with the exception of my kids, I do not hand out compliments where they are not warranted. There is no sugarcoating it when for a grown-ass adult ever.
If you get a neat, you
that's right. Man,
that's like probably your second highest praise.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. Like one of my ones that I give, for example, to the band at church is, well, it's not the worst thing I ever heard. That's when you know that they've managed to meet my minimum expectations, which sometimes is just the absolute best anyone can hope for.
Now, am I wrong in saying that ace job is king compliment?
That's pretty high up there.
Okay. I was going to say that has to be top.
One time. Ever once I got a compliment from Eric I was not expecting, and that was when I made one of the probably now DMCA Mandalorian mashup intros, and it was the one for the last episode of season two with the Luke Skywalker episode. And I had the whole sad part in the beginning. I mashed a couple of them together so they were a little closer together. The sad moments of him letting Grogu go, and then I said sad motivator. he messed me. He goes, that's so fucking good. I hate you. How good that is. So I was like, yes, yes.
Yeah,
that's that the top was, comment.
You know, because I mean, when somebody does something that stupendous, it makes it slightly more difficult to make fun of them. I mean, I'm still going to. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm going to dig deep and ignore everything good about them and just tear them a new one anytime I see fit. But yeah,
I was like, the problem was, I only did that in one take because it was so easy to draw up those emotions. Like, sad,
well, you did good. And ironically enough, since we're talking about this, that was the last good thing you ever did. So
that's fair. That's completely
so good
fair.
Job. But anyway, yeah. Guys,
probably the only good thing I'll ever do in my life from now until death. That
that's fair. I really do. Yeah. But, well, you know, I think what better time than any to bring this excellent show to a close. We're going to be talking the Bad Batch next week. And also, who knows what else? Probably a ton of big, huge announcements that they sneakily kept from us and are going to give to us this week. Any bets on that? I'm shaking the magic
I'm
eight ball. All signs
I'm
point
guessing
to no,
probably an IDW comic I'm not going to read. That'd be my guess.
Not shit. I agree with you. Signs point to no.
But guys, hey, listen. I forgot to mention all this at the beginning of the show, but follow the show on Twitter, @bad_motivators. Be sure to check like the show description down there. All the links for all that stuff are down there if you want to check out the socials, right? And you can also get some pretty rad merch at TeePublic and Redbubble. Is that Taylor Swift shirt back up there under another name?
It never left Redbubble, but I never put it back on TeePublic. I thought you were going
to
do it.
I don't know how to do it. Okay, I don't have the login information for that, you son of a bitch. We probably lost so many sales on that.
That's right. You're right. We were just
they
moving.
Were going, they were moving like crazy. At Celebration next time, expect to see tons of Taylor Sith.
Eric, I'm looking at my Magic 8 Ball right now. It says, signs point to no.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. You just wait.
Yeah, they're gonna be. You're gonna see them everywhere, and it's gonna be Eric passing.
I'm gonna
them
be
out.
Shooting them out of a
you
cannon.
You guys want a shirt? Have you seen how awesome this is?
I'm gonna win the lottery, and I'm gonna buy 1,000 of them. Actually, I'm not going Eric. To do that. I will have some printed because I am. Yeah. And then I will.
Eric's gonna get a potato gun and just fucking go at it. Because I'm sure you can make a potato gun with stuff you have laying around your house.
In all seriousness, it is a nice shirt. It's no Rio lifting weights with all four of his arms, but
it's
made by the same artist. So
very
it's,
neat.
It's not an insult.
But I will tell you this: when he puts his CV together or his portfolio, that Taylor Sith thing is probably on the top of the list.
Oh yeah,
but.
I don't know, man. I'm curious what Chris Hall maybe he'll
Taylor
says, but I'm curious.
That's what he's gonna do, right, Chris?
I'm curious which one of our designs that he's made that he would like the most. I think the Rio's high up there, but I wonder if he wouldn't go for the Dad Motivators one because he and I spent a lot of time on that
one. Well, it would honestly probably be something he's done for some other, you know. Other piece, but you know,
and he can relate to us because his Etsy page got taken down by Disney a couple months ago.
Well, I mean, now he's moved on to like, I mean, now him he made that awesome piece for the Sith List. He made stuff for our buddies over at Blue Milk and Blue Bantha Milk, and now he's making shit for Steel Wars. I mean, what the hell, Chris?
Yep. We just
he
got
still
big
loves
time.
Us best. I guarantee it. That's no lie. He would say it himself if he was.
We
on the show.
Just got big timed. But anyway, yeah, guys, yeah, be sure to check that out. And hey, listen, we can't begin to thank every listener of this show enough for sticking with us and, like I said, supporting us through the whole debacle that was May the 4th and. Through the takedowns and all that. You guys rule. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for tweeting about the show. If you haven't left us a review on iTunes, do that, man. It'll help people find this thing. And, you know, let's face it, we can barely hold. I'm surprised that Podbean hasn't started charging us more money for the number of downloads we get every month, but you know, we could always use more. But yeah, do that. Check out patreon.com/thebadmotivator. Some cool stuff going on there. And also a huge thanks to the Patreon supporters that we have said it before and will continue saying it until we all drop dead, is that we could not do this show without you guys. It's funny how things have shifted for us. But thank you so much. Oh. And I guess.
Wait, real quick. Little bit of... Patreon Bad Motivator Hangout news. May 30th, Sunday, the day before Memorial Day, we will have another Skype Hangout. So watch out for that to come in your Patreon email.
There you go. Okay. Well, hey, guys.
Sweet.
It's time. So, sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
Bad motivators.